views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Slots.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer is Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you have an item that you think might be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, or you just want to know what it might be worth. If it's even valuable enough to get into an auction, you can give us a call. 312-332-3776. Now, if you call us, you get in a drawing, we're giving away a box of 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions, which has three hits per box. But the key card in this thing, it's a random insert. They have a Ben Simmons Upper Deck Exquisite rookie autograph card numbered to 99 that you can pull out of this box. There's other Ben Simmons autographs that sell $400, $500, $600. This
really?
One, this one has had three sales of over $5,000 for the exquisite autograph. So this is a good prize. I'm not saying you're going to get the Ben Simmons in your box, but you have a chance for it.
Oh,
and
that's what's fun. I pulled a Ben Simmons out of there the other night.
Yes.
I put the it's a regular auto. I put it online last night about 10:30, got up this morning. It's up to $300
already.
Oh, my
gosh.
And it's just a regular auto.
Yeah.
So
that one should be. It's been in the 500 range, but he had a really good first game.
Yeah. So you never know.
But really, it hit 300 that fast.
304 to be exact right now. So
I love Goodwin Champions.
I know. It's a fun product to open. It really
is. It is fun.
You know me opening up products, you know, but this is really fun.
Yeah, you get three things in a box from all different possibilities of what you're getting. They have these. Oh, look at Vince hitting the coffee today.
I know. Yeah. Got a late start this morning.
That's good coffee. Okay, well, let's see here now. We're actually going to have an hour and a half show next week. Eric, I don't know if you even knew that, but we're doing an extra half hour next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
The bidding starts October 27th. They moved it up for the Huggins and Scott auction, so we'll already have items that we can report what some of the early bidding is next week, so that'll be fun. And then we'll do one where you will have no real chance at a which is higher rather than a which ended higher.
<It's funny. laughs>
Because it really, who knows what's going to be bid on most early, and some things they wait till late. You never know what it means. But meanwhile, we're going to talk about a lot of the items that are already listed at HugginsandScott.com. Give you an idea of what some items they have in there. It's not just cards. There's all kinds of different things. For instance, here's a Harry Houdini signed and dated photo with best wishes added to it. You know what the date is on this photo? April 1st, 1911. So kind of fitting that a Harry Houdini would be an April Fool's Day signature. I kind of like that connection there.
Sure.
You can always look for connections.
You can find a connection among two completely random things that make no sense to anybody until you connect them.
Somehow it makes sense to me, at least, or maybe when I'm sleeping or whatever, it makes sense. Okay, but there are a lot of nice cards in up for this auction. For instance, I tweeted a picture of this one. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. And by the way, if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing for the Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box just by doing that. But this is a 1959 Topps Ernie Banks card number 350, and it's graded a PSA 9, which they said is in the top 2% of all of those wow. cards graded with a $250 minimum bid. Bill Huggins, cards like that, sometimes when it's a 9, even though it's not a rookie card, not a second-year card, not a high-number short print, they can do well if it's hard to get a 9 on those.
Well, a lot of the guys will check the population report as to how many 9s are out there, and are there any 10s? Sometimes it's like a 1 of 4, but none higher, in which case you're looking at the best of the best.
Yeah. That's right. So, and then you can see, if you look at that card or some of these other ones that we're talking about that are high grade, if you have some older cards, compare them, and you'll see that typically yours won't shape up, you know, in comparison to these 9s. I mean, 9s are so hard to get on the vintage cards. 10s, I don't even know how you ever even get a 10. On a vintage card, but they give them out once in a while. As a matter of fact, I think there was one. Well, this is a Brady 2000 Leaf Rookies and Stars card, number 134 that got a PSA 10. Now this one's numbered to 1,000 and it's a $750 minimum bid on that. I'll tell you, if you have any Brady rookies sitting around where you think, wait a minute, I think back in that year I was opening football cards, I might have them in a box somewhere. Yeah. Go find them, because if you have any numbered Brady rookies, they sell for a fortune. And if you haven't touched them since then, they might be gradable. If they're gradable, if you get 10s on those things, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
good money.
Plus, he wasn't really highly touted, so it's not like you're opening up a pack saying, oh, I hope I hit on Tom Brady, you know?
No, a lot of
just
people,
put it aside
they
or,
would
you know.
Put them in their rookie boxes, yep. or the save box,
yep.
the hold
That's
box.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a lot of those hold boxes.
Oh, man.
Some of them you look at, it's like, man, I was really holding this thing. But a lot of times, I just have rookie boxes
right.
now. I just put rookies in them, and if they ever end up hitting it big, which a lot of times they do,
yep.
You're
really smart that way. You put those rookies aside. A couple years later, they you know, all of a sudden become a star, and now the value goes up considerably.
Yeah, it really does. You know? Where that really, the first time recently, well, a couple of them, the 2011 Mike Trout Topps Update rookie. You know, Topps Update is in stock now. And the rookie cards from those do really well
yep.
because those aren't in the factory sets. Those are only in the packs. But the Trout and now the Altuve from 2011, Topps Traded, is doing yep. real well. But then the biggie a couple years ago when Golden State had their first really big year, Steph Curry's
right.
Topps rookie went from like a $5 card to literally, I had a dealer who comes in regularly, paid $300 for a non-graded one that I
wow.
had. It was
wow.
like that got really
That's
hot.
Strong.
I think it's gone down some since then, but for a while there, that thing was off the charts.
Yeah.
And that was just not signed, just the base Steph
wow.
Curry rookie card.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of fun when yep. you're like, oh, yeah, I think I got a couple of those.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is fun. But some other graded cards that are in the Huggins and Scott Fall Auction. Now, bidding begins October 27th, Friday, and goes through November 9th. There's a 1968 Topps Pete Rose card, PSA 9. That's in the top 4% of all graded. $250 minimum bid on that one. A 1970 Topps Nolan Ryan number 712 PSA 9. So that's a high number. A PSA 9, that's in the top 2%. I don't even know on those 1970 cards how they just never looked that good. To get a 9 or a 10 on that is just incredible.
Kids, we opened them up. We played with them. we traded them with friends on the corner or whatever. And
well, even
just,
those, though, even coming out of the packs, they look like of them didn't look that like
right.
off center or chipping or whatever. But yes, that's got a $500 minimum bid on that one. So we'll see what happens with some of the really nice cards that are graded in the Huggins and Scott Fall Auction. You can go to HugginsandScott.com and check out items. Now, I had, there's a lot of mics from Naperville that come into Tea Crowns. I don't know that you can put this one in the drawing. This is a different mic from the last couple, but he was in, I don't know, maybe, I think it was actually before the, last Saturday was the flood, a little nicer weather today. It was right before that he was in. And listen to this, Bill Huggins. He's got a 1968 Topps baseball complete set with a PSA 8 Nolan Ryan rookie. It's already graded. And he said most of the rest are similar type condition. I don't think he realized that, you know, how good that would be. I mean, don't you think that's easy a shot to get over $5,000 for that set, especially if you got more of them graded that were in the 8 type condition? Maybe even some of those are 9s.
Oh yeah, no, you're 5,000. You could be 10,000 plus if you know.
Yeah.
And if you get a set that's probably got all 7s, 8s, and some 9s, and you're $10,000 easy on that.
Yeah,
set.
Especially, and he's already got the biggie, the Nolan Ryan rookie graded, and it's an 8. So I mean, that's the real monster in that set. Now there's got to be some other cards that are tough 8s and 9s in that set. I haven't really looked at it that closely, but Mantle was still there in 68 and all the big Hall of Famers. So, yeah, that said, I hope Mike from Naperville decides he's going to sell it. I don't know if he ever is going to sell it, but if he does, that'd be a great auction set. We were talking before the show about Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen. It's spelled L-A-U-R-I, but I tweeted a video of him. It was at the draft, but it also showed him growing up in Finland is where he came from.
Oh.
Now, first game for the Bulls, 17 points, 8 rebounds. His cards are pretty hot. I mean, they're doing well on eBay. I've seen a couple cards sell for over 200, so it's not like he's cold, but he has the ability to hit big shots. And you know what his nickname is? Because of his ability, Eric, do you know what?
I'm not sure if this is what you're going with, but is it Baby Dirk?
No,
I've heard
no.
Baby Dirk a bunch, but
no.
I'm not sure what you're with.
This
about
one, the flying fin.
No,
that's
I like
it.
That's a good
like
one.
It.
That's a good one. It has to do with hitting big shots. Okay, I guess like he played for Finland in the summer and hit. This is a really good thing to be known at as when you're a basketball player. It's the finisher, F-I-N-N-I-S-H-E-R.
Ooh, I like it better. That's nice.
You want to be known as a guy who they got to watch that he can hit big shots at the end of games. And I guess in Arizona, he had another nickname, the Marksman, M-A-R-K-K-S-M-A-N.
Okay. That's a play on his last name a little bit.
His name is spelled M-A-R-K-K-A-N-E-N.
Wow.
So, but he's going to be, they've got two pieces. They've got him and Levine. When Levine gets back and starts playing, I think they're going to be kind of fun to watch.
But you need 8 more, right?
you need another key star. So if they're in the lottery, there's the top 3 to 5 guys in next year's lottery are potentially big stars. There's a guy they compare to Bosch, but he's stronger. So, you know, more aggressive than Bosch, but a really good outside shot. If they can get a third guy to build with, then you just get pieces around them that can play D and hit open shots or whatever, a playmaker, you know, whatever to go with them. And you can get good pretty fast in the NBA. So if Levine comes back 100% from his ACL, he'll be really fun to watch. So at least there's a little bit of excitement building there maybe. But
well, it's good.
Right now it's kind of like they don't know what they're doing. They've got all these new guys. They're young.
The team's not gelling together, huh?
Well, no, actually,
I don't know what the fight's going to do for them.
The one thing from the fight is Markkanen started and played more minutes, so he's going to play right away, whereas I don't know why you would ease in a player in basketball. If he can play, let him play. Yep. It's not like you're worried he's going to get 10 sacks or something against him. Just let him play. But he looks like he gets off his shot like really fast. If you watch his video, there's video of him when he was little
really
making shots. And they had this one part. He started working on his left-hand shooting because he was making all the right ones with nobody guarding him. And just to do something a little different, he started shooting with his left, which is, good in traffic. You want to be able to shoot with both hands. So anyway, he's got a great shot. He gets it off fast. And he got 8 rebounds the first game, too.
So he's hustling. Yeah.
So we'll see how he does. I mean, he's got to play a lot of good power forwards, and he's not – doesn't have any help with those two guys out now, where he's going to have to play a lot of minutes, but we'll see what he does.
It'd be nice to have a guy you can root for, with an identity and, somebody who's going to just be
and
fun
watch
to
watch him develop. Yes. And he is kind of fun to watch. Man, when he's hot, getting that shot off, it's like bang, whoa, geez, he can. But supposedly coming out of the draft, he might have been, and this was a good draft this year in the NBA, but he might have been the best shooter of anybody in the draft, and he's 6'11 or 7 feet. So that's a good thing.
Yep.
So it's hard to sound. I don't know why I'm sounding so excited about a team that's going to be terrible this year, but there's things you look for. I like to watch Bulls games, so I want to have something that I can watch. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Taking your calls if you have a question about the value of your collectible, or if you just want to give us a call, tell us what you have. We're giving away a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box. 3 hits per box in this product. And the big hit we were talking about earlier in the show, it's a Ben Simmons Upper Deck Exquisite Rookie Autograph card, numbered to 99. I think 3 of them have finished at sales over $5,000 for that card, because he has an exclusive with Upper Deck. He can't have autographs in Panini. So this is going to be his best rookie cards. This 2016-17 exquisite rookie autograph randomly inserted in the Upper Deck Goodwin boxes. Wow. And it's a fun box to open even without that.
Yes.
So give us a call and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8 talking about the values of collectibles. If you have something, you can call us at 312-332-3776 and you'll get in a drawing. We're giving away a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box today. You don't have to have a sports item. If you have a non-sports item, you can have something. You can call us. Like Huggins and Scott has a great group of items from the Larry Magid collection. Listen to some of this stuff that he has in the auction. A Jerry Garcia signed Fender Stratocaster electric guitar. $7,500 minimum bid on that. A 1970 The Who original concert poster. I noticed, plus James Gang played with him that concert.
Okay.
Yeah, that must have been a good concert. $1,500 minimum bid. Lots of stuff on the Huggins and Scott auction from the Larry Magid collection. Bill, you got to know him pretty well, I imagine, with him putting in all that stuff. It looked like in some of the write-ups, he had some good stories of how he got some of the items.
Well, actually, all that stuff came from our Philadelphia representative, Ron Oser.
Oh, okay.
And, Ron actually met with him and has got a lot of stuff, and I think there's quite a bit more coming for future auctions.
Oh, boy, so unbelievable stuff. Looks like he was the right guy to not throw things away, when he's picking up all this stuff, all these posters, signed items. He had all these different bands and musicians signing instruments and really great stuff. It's going to be fun to see how it does. So it doesn't have to be sports items that you're calling about, but we've got a few sports items waiting on the line here. Chad from Dixon, what do you have there, Chad?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Actually, I have a little 8x10 Michael Jordan picture that's autographed. Kind of funny story behind it. I gave it to my buddy for $20 about 15 years ago, and being the good buddy that he is, he held on to it all this time for me and actually returned it to me recently.
Wow, really? Did you get it signed in person?
He was making a huge mistake.
Yeah, right. Did you get it signed in person, or was it an Upper Deck authenticated?
It was actually at a little antique store, and it was authenticated, and my grandmother bought it for me, so I want to say, like, Christmas.
Okay. So I guess the key would be the authentication on that. Like Bill Huggins, depending on the authentication, if that showed up at your place, you'd probably have to get JSA or PSA DNA to do an authentication unless it's Upper Deck. Or what other ones would be good on Jordan items? That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, PSA, JSA, and Upper Deck would be the ones to have for Michael Jordan. It just makes it much more sellable and much more believable that it was signed by Michael. A lot of times you get these authenticators that, well, it's probably good and everything. It's just the name that the authenticator has is not recognized around the country or around the world as far as being able to say, yes, Michael signed that item.
Yeah. So what do you think? An 8x10 Jordan, maybe it's 300 to 500 maybe right now? I haven't looked recently. Yeah.
That's okay. Exactly what it sells. You know, it's not
a football,
it depends on what it looks like.
Yeah. What else you have, Chad?
I got a football, too, that I got at the Bears Expo. When Gabe Kremi got drafted, I attended there, and I met Virginia McCaskey. And ironically enough, I got her autograph. I got Doug Buffone, Ed Bragovich.
Ed Obradovich.
Some other. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. James Big Cat Williams.
That's kind of a neat item. That's a good local item. I would think that maybe, depending who all is on there, that might be a couple hundred dollars if there are. Because that sounds like some pretty good names, and I don't see Virginia McCaskey autographs around very much. They got to have some value to them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat, Chad.
All right, cool. Thank you, guys.
All right. Definitely, if it's a real Jordan autograph, it's more than the $20 that Chad sold it to. Is that
definitely.
Now, that's a good friend.
That's
the guy
a great friend.
Held on to it and said, okay, look. You were a dope for selling this for $20. Here it is. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Despite your dopiness, we'll put friendship ahead of money,
yes,
and that's the way
right.
It should be for
right.
Friendship.
Okay, Steve from Buffalo Grove is on the line. What do you have there, Steve?
Hey, morning, guys. I've got a game-used minor league baseball from the Florida State League, autographed by Joey Votto in the sweet spot.
Oh, now that's cool. So it was signed by him while he was in the minor leagues. Now, is there...
You know what? I definitely can't prove that because there's no authentication to go with it.
Yeah,
I was going to have PSA authenticate the autograph at the next show.
Okay.
But it's definitely a game-used minor league ball from the Florida State League, which looks like it would have been from when he played.
Yeah, now how do you know it's game-used?
You can just tell by looking at it.
Okay.
I mean, again, there's no proof to...
Yeah. See, now in like for major league games, they have the MLB hologram on the balls and on the bats and things that they take out there, and you know that they're used... Bill Huggins, it would be hard to prove that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the story is all well and good, and nobody's going to accuse you of making up a story. I get that from a lot of my bidders all the time about when they're asking about an item. You know, they say, tell me the story about where you got the item. Make something up if you have to, but tell me a story, you know. So the story behind a lot of items is as important sometimes as the item, but sometimes it's just... It's tougher to prove because they weren't there with you.
Yeah, I don't think that particular one you could auction it. It wouldn't be something I'd be able to do anything with in my store because it probably is, but there's just wouldn't be enough backing on that one. I love what MLB does now with the holograms. I mean, I don't know why every sport doesn't do that. That one time a couple years ago, we had the guy from MLB on as a guest, and he had said he had presented it to the other leagues, and it didn't. I don't know. They thought it was too difficult to do or whatever.
Might take some time to catch up. But speaking of Votto, what a quietly great hitter!
Oh, he
amazing.
Really is.
His OBP this year was .454.
Supposedly, he swings at by far the less amount of pitches outside of the strike zone. He must have the best eye in baseball right now.
Yep.
Where
right
they rank all that stuff. Now that they've got everything computerized, they rank and see how many guys swing outside the strike zone. Then there's other guys. Who would be somebody that's always swinging at wild pitches? Like Vladimir Guerrero. He swung at them wherever they were. And he could hit them hard wherever they were, too.
I have memories of Shawn Dunston hitting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Swinging at every outside curveball in the dirt.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. But he usually didn't hit those.
No, that's right.
Scott from Geneva's on the line. What do you have there, Scott?
Yes, I got an Oriole 16x20 all autographed with their win and loss record, black and white photo.
The Orioles?
Yeah.
From what year?
The 420 game winners in 71 when they had the 420 name winners.
Oh, well, Bill Huggins would probably be familiar with something like that. What would you think of an item like that, Bill?
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, I actually have one of those in my briefcase right now to get authenticated today at the show that we're at in New York. 420
game really? You're kidding? I thought you'd be familiar with those. Not that familiar.
I have them again. Right here in my briefcase. And those, honestly, Scott, those will sell for, depending on how it looks and everything, I've actually sold those in a wide range. I want to say one time we had one in an auction that got about $1,500, but generally they'll bring, $200 to $500.
Okay. Thanks for the call. You know what time it is? Eric, you got your lucky bidding shoes on today for
your lucky... We're going to continue a winning streak.
Okay.
I'm not going to start, continue, whatever. Make it two in a row.
Which ended higher? These three items were expensive items. That's a hint.
Okay.
That ended in the August Huggins and Scott auction. And you guys are going to have to guess, of these three items, which ended higher. First item, 1916 to 1926... World Series photo album, 277 original snapshots with Ruth Gehrig, a 1919 World Series Joe Jackson shot or two in there, 277 original snapshots from 1916 to 1926. The next item, 1930s Mel Ott single signed baseball. It's the signature's a 7 to 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, and the ball is excellent, or was. And then the third item, 1952 Topps baseball, uncut 15-card panel with number 261 Willie Mays on there. So they're all really good items,
gotcha.
But which one ended higher? Now, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
This is, you know, I'll go first
okay.
on these.
Age before beauty, go ahead.
Whatever. 1930s Mel Ott autograph signed baseballs.
Okay, that's Vince's Mel Ott. Eric.
I'm going to go with the one that I'd want. It'd be that World Series collection of photos.
Yeah, that was a really neat collection. And unfortunately, Eric.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
And Vince.
Surprise,
we're both wrong.
Oh,
but
man.
These are all three were great items. Listen to the final high bids on these. The photo album, $22,250. Okay. And that's the lowest of the three. The
wow.
Mel Ott ball went for $35,000. And the uncut 15-card panel,
$38,000. Wow.
So, yeah, that was some pretty good items in that
35
one.
35 grand, and I came in second. I'll take
yeah,
it, though. That's,
yeah,
that's
right.
pretty strong.
Yeah. There's a lot of Mel Ott different items in this upcoming auction. Bidding begins October 27th. The gentleman whose father was on the Giants board of directors when they were the New York Giants, and then when they moved to San Francisco, had one of my favorite things, I think it was a 1938, 37 or 38 team photo with 22 signatures on it, a bunch of team signed balls
nice.
With Mel Ott on
Very
them.
Nice.
There were a couple wallets and things in a lot where that like one was for 1 year that Mel Ott made the All-Star game. I mean, just really cool
yep.
stuff.
Yep. And so, he passed away at such a young age that
yeah.
if you have something authentic from him,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
that's going to get those high dollar amounts like that 35 grand.
Right. He was a great player, one of the, you know, early power hitters. And he had a cool way of batting, whereas he got his power. He was a smaller guy, but he got his power from big leg kick when
yep.
he hit. So
yep.
pretty interesting, pretty cool stuff. But, yeah, 35,000. Would have thought that would have been the highest.
I thought you
one.
Were going to give me the old, you know, the ka-ching or
yeah,
something. So,
yeah,
but
yeah.
that's all right. At least I beat Eric.
We both lost, actually.
Yeah.
Nobody won in that situation.
I was closer
so.
To the first spot than you.
Who's the best? Who's the best loser?
I know nothing.
Matt from Chicago's on the line. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
I have, well, my mother just found a bunch of my old baseball cards. Flair, Donruss, complete set. I've got a whole book of, like, 30 Bo Jackson cards. I'm just wondering what average, rough value, any kind of ballpark. I didn't even know she still had them.
Baseball cards from the 80s, a lot of them aren't worth too much. They really produced a ton. Now, early 80s can be good, like especially if you have the Ricky Henderson rookie or the Ripken rookie and they're in high grade and you get them graded, that can be very good. Bill Huggins, Ricky Henderson, like a PSA 10 rookie card, that would be big money, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's mega thousands of dollars. Those are tough 10s.
Yeah, so the key is if you have the early 80s and if they're perfect condition on the key rookie cards, if they are, get those graded and see how you do with them. The 89 Upper Deck Griffey rookie is good, but it has to be a 10, either a BGS Beckett 9.5, which sells for a few hundred, or a 10 is a couple grand usually on that card, a BGS 10. And then, you know, there's cards that mixed in there. The Maddox rookies are good in tens. But a lot of the stuff, if it's not graded, I mean, it's just there's so many of them out there. And a lot of the guys from the 80s in baseball just fizzled. Now, basketball from the 80s is doing really well, but baseball, not so well. I don't know. Maybe at some point it does better, but there's so much. It's going to be a while, I think. So it's time for a short break. Now the number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID and we use it on the show. You get in the drawing that way. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. Next week, we're going to have an extra half-hour show, actually. So we'll be on till 8:30 next week. But you can call us if you have a question on the value of a collectible. And I think we're going to start a Vince versus Eric every week now. It can be, you know, like which ended higher. You know that paddle ball where you used to hit the paddle and see how many times absolutely. You could do it? During the show, you guys could be doing that.
So we'll call it Pros versus Joes. We know who the Joe is in that situation.
Vince said at the timeout, he goes, yeah, me and Eric doing some trash talking here. And it's like, yeah, here we go. I like the Vince versus Eric idea.
Well, I beat you this week, Eric, so that's all I got to say.
Both lost this week.
Yeah.
Both lost this week.
I don't know how paddle ball would do on the radio, though. What's that in the background? Andy from Huntley is on the line. What's up, Andy?
How are you, Bob? Tom, how are you doing?
Good. What's new?
Well, I have a question for you. My grandfather-in-law grew up and lived in Milwaukee, was a huge Milwaukee Braves fan.
Oh.
And sadly, when he passed, but he passed down to me a baseball with autographs from Bob Shaw, Eddie Matthews, Chet Nichols, Warren Spahn, Billy Burton, Lou Burdett, and the best one, Hank Aaron. I really just didn't have a way to put all those autographs in a value when they're all on one ball. I was hoping you guys might be able to help.
So it's a total of like 8 signatures, or are there more from the team on there?
It's those 7 that I mentioned.
Or 7.
7 only.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not a period ball. It's a ball from the mid-80s.
Oh, okay.
And, Bobby Brown was the commissioner, but it is an official American League ball, and I believe that he got it on one of the Braves cruises or the Milwaukee events that they have for fans, and the guys were obviously all retired at the time. I was just hoping I could get some help with a potential value. I really have no idea where to begin with this
well,
thing.
When they were Milwaukee Braves, they were in the National League, so that's a little bit odd being on an American League ball, but having Aaron and Matthews and Spahn on there, I mean, that's good. Bill Huggins, what do you think of a ball like that? If let's say it's a white ball and the signatures are all pretty clean on there.
And it's a clean ball.
The fact that it was signed later on is probably not the best as value.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a team ball with all those guys on it from the 50s, you're looking at 500 to 1,000 or more, depending on what year it is. The ball you've got, Andy, is probably $200 to $300 with
yeah,
those guys on it.
I was thinking the same thing. If it looks nice, you know, if it's all clean and good signatures, so good value, but not the great value. If it had been a World Series team sign ball from the 50s, then that'd be quite a bit more. I had Barry from Wheaton stopped by Triple Crown in Naperville. He had a, turned out it looks like it was a 1966 Cardinals signed ball, which isn't good because 67, they won the World Series and Roger Maris was on the 67 ball. So that's much more valuable. Yep. Plus his were faded a little bit on it. It was kind of light. It had some good guys on it. I mean, it still had Cepeda, Brock, Gibson, McCarver, Kurt Flood, who's kind of a key, but with no Maris and it being 66 and 67, that's probably a $100 ball. Bill Huggins, a real nice 67 ball with Maris on it, that could maybe approach a grand, couldn't it?
Oh, and has. We've sold those in the past for sure.
Yeah, that's a good ball. And Maris, you know, what a key player he was. Even he was kind of underrated. There was so much publicity about the 61 homers and everything, but what a good outfielder and base runner he was. He was an excellent right fielder, a really smart player, good base runner. So he helped that team. He fit in really well with the Cardinals. I think he felt more comfortable in it, not being in New York, being in St. Louis, and finished his career well with
them. In that historic season, he was in the shadow of Mickey Mantle, so Mantle's going to get all the publicity, and most people wanted Mantle to get the, you know.
If somebody was going to do it, they wanted it to be Mantle, and not Maris, and he just kept hitting them.
Yep.
Alex from Oak Lawn is on the line. What's new, Alex? What do you have?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hello.
I have a couple of Urlacher items. The first is a photo, probably a little bit bigger than 8x10 from 05 when he won the Defensive Player of the Year. That one was signed, and under the photo is a material that looks like a kind of a leather of a football that says 2005 NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And that one is authenticated by the guy who made it, who used to be the official photographer of the Bears, as well as Brian Urlacher.
I think that's maybe in the $50 to $100 range. I have a rookie autographed card of Urlacher in a T-Crown right now. It's like $50. He's a Hall of Fame caliber player, but his autographs don't sell for a fortune. A lot of the newer guys on items like that, unless it's a rookie card that's low numbered of the guys and signed, or just if it, like, let's say you go back to the years before they had numbered rookie autographs in packs. Like if you have I have a signed Charles Barkley rookie card, the 86 Fleer card.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's worth a few hundred bucks because there's not a lot of those around, but there's not a lot of value to a lot of the signed photos of current guys except for a couple of them, like Brady's stuff is good, but a lot of them not that high.
How much more valuable would an Urlacher signed jersey or picture if they had won a Super Bowl when he was with the Bears?
Well,
Does it go up significantly?
Well, not really. Now, if you had – they did make the Super Bowl, so that was good. But if you had game-used stuff of Urlacher, then that makes a big difference. That stuff, that's big money. Don't you think, Bill Huggins, especially if it was from their Super Bowl year, that an Urlacher game-worn jersey would do some good bucks?
Oh, that's a couple $1,000s for sure.
Yeah, that'd be real good. Okay, Dan from Roselle's on the line. What's new, Dan?
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for talking to me.
Sure.
My buddy went to a, in 1983 when, All-Star Game was here in Chicago at Comiskey Park. He went to the All-Star Dinner at Navy Pier. And he got me a big, gigantic invitation, to the All-Star, dinner with the date and everything. An autograph by Johnny Bench, Frank and Brooks Robinson, Roger Maris, and, Pedro Guerrero, who was the only actual guy on the team that year. But it was the only current. The other guys were all like past all-stars. And I was just wondering what something like that is worth.
Well, he at least was a good player. It's kind of a random group there, but now that's a Maris, and Maris is a good signature. Bill Huggins, what do you think of that? You think that could be a couple $100 for that crew on that?
Oh, especially with the Maris on it. I would say that thing could probably be, $250 to $400 for sure.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Now, would that be something if Dan wanted to send it in to Huggins for an auction? Would you want to auction it, or would it have to be with some other items?
Oh, I think that would be a good item. Are they all signed on the cover, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, that
helps.
Nice, clean signatures. Yeah, Great item from a nice event there, too, in Chicago.
Yeah, so that's cool, Dan. Roger Maris, you know, he passed away at a relatively young age, and he didn't make the Hall of Fame, but he'll always be talked about. It's like Curt Flood, too. He'll always be talked about also. Not a Hall of Famer, real good player, and then he had the history of doing the whole
refusing to be traded
and,
to Philadelphia, yeah, I believe it was, where he just
the whole free agent rule and everything developed out of all that, and his career never came back from that, actually. It sounded like he had a pretty bad life after that, like a rough life after that, too. So, Joe from the Northwest Side, sounds like you have kind of a neat item there, Joe. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I got an in-person signed Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. Individual 8x10 photo of Johnny Cash and an individual signed 8x10 photo of June Carter Cash in Chicago here. Vintage right around 1970, downtown Chicago.
Cool.
I was wondering what they're worth.
So it's two separate single signed photos.
Two separate.
Yeah, okay. Bill, you think that Johnny Cash is a few hundred and maybe 50 to 100 for June Carter Cash?
Yeah, or maybe it could be even more than that, depending on how nice it looks. That would be a great pair of items to run in our auction. I mean, I know we would have plenty of bidders, and gosh, I don't think I've run much of Johnny Cash stuff, so that may surprise you what that would sell for.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever decide to sell it, bring it into Tom's store. Maybe take some pictures of it, and if you decide you want to sell, we would certainly be interested in that pair.
Yeah, if somebody has something like that, too, and if you want me to, I take pictures of it and tweet a picture or two of it and then mention it on the show, and then if people get to see what it looks like, that doesn't hurt. And then if you decide to send it into Huggins and Scott to auction, that's all the better. Speaking of Huggins and Scott, their bidding begins October 27th for their fall auction and goes through November 9th. So this Friday, bidding begins. There's lots of great items up there already. Here's something kind of interesting. It was a cool-looking photo. Sometimes things just catch your eye, and it's like, wow, I really like that photo. This was a 1960 World Series Mickey Mantle Type 1 photo, which means it was printed within a year of the time it was taken, not printed like 30 years later or whatever. And it was taken in Forbes Field from behind home plate with a $100 minimum bid. Just a great-looking picture. Be interesting to see how that does. Type 1 photos can do well sometimes. This is a good set, a 1952 Bowman Large football complete set, 144 cards in it, PSA graded. It's number 11 on the PSA registry, 5.695 average grade. Had a Frank Gifford rookie in there that's a 5, a Tom Landry card got a 6. Number 1 Norm Van Brocklin card got a 6. I imagine that's kind of tough to get a 6 on that one. $2,500 minimum bid for that set. So lots of good stuff. You can go to HugginsAndScott.com and check it out. Will from East Chicago's online. What's new, Will? What do you have?
I've got really three items. Back then when Lou Boudreaux retired, he would spend time at Delmora Park, and I met him there.
Okay.
And with my son, he gave my son a Hall of Fame card signed by him, and I happened to have like a pocketbook that I had for reference, and he signed that also.
Okay, now the Hall of Fame card, is it one of those like yellow plaque cards, or what's that card? That might be a pretty good card.
Yeah, he had just made it into the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Do you know what card he's talking about there, Bill Huggins?
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm not really sure.
But, he being a Hall of Famer, sometime, Will, if you can get me a picture of it or stop by Triple Crown in Naperville and show it to me, you know, I'll see what we can find out. But I like that. Lou Boudreaux, after his Hall of Fame career, where I think I was saying on the air, but I was surprised how good of a defensive player he was. You know how they have defensive war?
Yeah.
One year, it might have been the World Series year, he had a 3.1 defensive war. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's like way above average for defense at shortstop. And he was a manager, and then he was an announcer for the Cubs for a long time. So for the Chicago area, that's a really cool item. I'd like to see the card, but I would think that would probably be at least $100, Will, and we'd have to go from there. You know, it just depends what it actually is. I can't believe we only have a couple minutes left in the show.
That's by so fast in the studio.
They really do.
It really does.
Sitting here watching people walking by and waving and all that stuff, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, the hour is over.
But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun down here.
And now we've got the Eric versus Vince thing that we've got coming up, you know, every week.
I'd like to say we're evolving. I'm not sure if that's a step backwards or not.
Whatever you would call that one. I'm not sure what you call that. Well, now
I think we need T-shirts with that Eric. Version.
Yeah, I like
there
that.
You go.
Yeah,
there you
who
go.
Would be on the front and who would be on the back?
I would,
or would
be
you
on
have,
the front. Sorry.
Okay, we'd have to have both of you.
It'd have to be a split front.
Yeah,
that's,
I think both of
that.
You on each side. How about that?
Have Eric to each other's face, you know.
And then Eric versus and Vince on the back, maybe something like that, or I don't know. We'll get some T-shirt designer
we'll
to
figure
that out.
We'll get that merch going here.
Yeah, right. So for what? A couple $100 a shirt signed by both you guys. It should be at least that. We can always mark them down if
that's right. We'll send the profits to charity for
yeah,
sure.
That's right. Eric versus Vince. Eric, you can work on an opening for that. You know, Eric
yeah, right.
versus
make some production for it. Get the big guy. Maybe get a boxing thing in there.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. There's tons of items already up if you're looking to pick something up. They have them by category where you can search. Bidding begins October 27th, goes through November 9th. Lots of great items up there. So go to HugginsandScott.com. And it's time to do the drawing.
All right, this week's winner is going to be Scott from Geneva. So, Scott, email me your address. I'll deliver free of charge to your home. My email is vince@ercdelivery.com.
Very good. Now, this is a box you definitely want to pick up. Because like we were saying, it's not in every box. They only made 99 of them. But if you pull the Ben Simmons Upper Deck Exquisite autograph rookie card numbered to 99 out of, which is in these boxes, they're selling for over $5,000.
Jeez,
so it's
nice.
Like, it's well worth opening. There's a lot of other fun stuff in there. Jordan signed some. Stephen King actually has autographs in there.
So
a lot of cool stuff. In the Upper Deck Goodwin Champions, I have them in stock at Triple Crown in Naperville. And I'm there 6 days a week, including 10 to 3:30 today. So thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week.